Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
It's great to be here. It's great to be with everybody. A little bit, you know, just so you know who you're talking to. I've been at this just for a couple of years, like 45 of them. There are about 30 professionals that work for me, and we do asset protection, estate planning, business transactions, mergers and acquisitions nationwide. I'm just for Margaret knows, I'm a full-blown licensed lawyer in New York. So I'm a member of the New York Bar. Which is interesting because some of the Corporate Transparency Act is going to tail on to something special in New York. New York has a LLC Transparency Act that's coming into effect in December 2024, which is almost kind of redundant to the Corporate Transparency Act. So there'll be disclosures not only federally, but there's going to be disclosures for New York as well. And it just applies to LLCs in New York. Now, who does it apply to and what's it all about? So it's all really started, guys and girls, with 9/11. Too close to New York to remember, as you all do. And in 9/11, ever since 9/11, the Patriot Act, know your client rules, everything, is just try to find out how terrorists are financing activities, money laundering, tax evasion, people having shell companies, the Pandora Papers that we read about in the Wall Street Journal, all of those things led to where we sit today. So the government, our government and other governments have been trying to compile who are the real owners of businesses internationally, actually. Who are the real owners? Not, you know, who's hiding behind an LLC shell or a limited partnership shell. So hence, we have the Corporate Transparency Act that was passed in 2021, but was not implemented in 2022, not implemented in 2023. But here we are today with it being implemented. But it's very important to understand, critically important to understand, why. Why is important? Because once we know what the government is after, some of what I tell you today is going to make a little bit more sense. So if when we're drilling down into an entity, which we're going to learn about drilling down into an entity, if we don't find the people that really own it, we're not going to be in compliance with the Corporate Transparency Act. Now, some things to know. So there is a court case floating around the federal court system that has some legs associated with it, trying to have the Corporate Transparency Act declared unconstitutional. And just so for the non-lawyers that are with us, you can't really bring a court action until it's something which is known as ripe. It has to be ripe, you know, like a tomato. And so it doesn't get ripe until it goes into effect. So in January, when goes into effect, it's now ripe to be disputed as to whether it's constitutional or not. Now, my humble legal opinion is that certain aspects of the Corporate Transparency Act might be declared unconstitutional. But I don't think the entire act is going to be declared unconstitutional. Why? Most modern Western economies already have this in place. As you all know, that go to get a loan, go to do anything, go to have a stock transaction. They want your name, your address, your driver's license number, the age of your firstborn. It's called know your client rules that are in effect. So they want to know who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with a money launderer? Are you dealing with a terrorist, whatever it may be? And just a simple notary requires an address and a form of identification. So this, I would think that the Corporate Transparency Act in general will remain and is here to stay. So that's one thing to note. The other thing to note is that there's another aspect of it. There are timelines and deadlines. And so let me tell you about a bill that's running through Congress. It's the House has already passed this. The Senate has not, and Joe hasn't signed it yet. But it basically extends some of the deadlines. I'll bring them up when I go through the specifics that are involved. And it also adds a component that's pretty draconian to the Corporate Transparency Act that we'll talk about. So what is it? So basically, this act is targeted for small businesses, for 33 million small businesses. And allegedly, which none of us trust in the legal world, the information being gathered by FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is a division of the Department of Treasury, say people that deal with offshore bank accounts, FinCEN, what they're trying to do here is compile this. It's allegedly not going to be public. It's for law enforcement's use and governmental use only. Of course, it could be shared with other foreign governments. So if there's a problem in the UK and they want to find out who's behind this LLC or LP in New York, they're going to be able to share information along the way by court order. And there are very severe penalties for disclosure of any of the information that is gathered. Talking about that, let's just get the penalties out of the way because it's important as a backdrop. So once an entity is required to be a reporting entity, which we'll learn about, if you're not in compliance, there's a $500 a day fine. And that $500 a day fine is a maximum of 30 days. That's about 15 grand. In addition, there's a $10,000 criminal fine. In addition, up to 2 years of imprisonment. So they're pretty serious about this. Non-compliance with the Corporate Transparency Act is a felony. Right? Now, whether or not that continues to remain constitutional or not is really a question yet to be determined. But they're serious about that. These are the same people that deal with, like I said, foreign bank accounts. And if we don't comply there, that is a criminal offense. And that has been upheld. So we have that. So just start with every business in America needs to be registered with FinCEN under the Corporate Transparency Act, unless they are exempted out. So let me just talk about that. LLCs, limited partnerships, corporations, LLPs, anytime we go to the state, go to New York and say, hey, form this LLC or give us a number. We want to start an LLC or go to Wisconsin, wherever it may be. That entity needs to be disclosed. And all the entities ever since the beginning of creation in America needs to be disclosed as well. And we're going to talk about the differential of what's required and how it needs to be disclosed. So start with every entity needs, unless there is an exemption that says it does not need to comply. So let's talk about the exemptions. So that's important. Let me run through the 23 or so exemptions that are available. So we got some. So one of them is if you're a public company, it's exempt because the SEC, FINRA, and all those, they know all the people and they got them fingerprinted. They know your client. They have their backgrounds, their residence. They know who's involved in a public company. Certain SEC registered investment advisors, because they're all regulated by the SEC, they don't need to comply. Venture capital fund advisors don't need to comply. Insurance companies and insurance producers that are licensed by the state don't need to comply. Regulated financial institutions, banks, credit unions, securities broker dealers don't need to comply, but trust companies apparently don't need to comply as a part of a financial institution. Tax exempt entities, nonprofits, the pussycat, save the pussycat funds and, all of they don't need to comply. Public accounting firms, CPAs, if they are registered under Sarbanes-Oxley, so they could do public accounting, they have all the information, they don't need to comply. Governmental authorities don't need to comply, of course. And then subsidiaries of exempt entities, if the entity is exempt from compliance, any subsidiary of it doesn't need to comply. But the big one that affects Vistage members, Margaret, our people that you talk to, is this one. And it's not an or, it's an and, right? The and is, we have at least 20 full-time employees as determined by state law. So what's full time? Maybe 37 and a half hours, full time employee. So if we have 20 full time employees at the time of filing and have our offices in the United States and have $5 million worth of gross sales, we're exempt. We don't have to comply. That many Vistage members fall into that category. My law firm, for example, falls into that category. But of course, I have nine other entities that don't. They don't all need to comply. So that's really important. So if we don't fall into one of those exemptions, we need to comply. So let's take this step by step so everybody understands that. So the first thing is we have a company. So let's make a new one, all right, rather than looking backwards, because if we look at the new ones, then we'll understand the old ones. So Margaret, Helen, and Harry decide that we're going to form an LLC, okay? And we're going to buy a couple of condos in Brooklyn, all right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to have it in our LLC. It's going to be some good investments for us. Do we fall under any of the exemptions? Absolutely not, all right? We do not. Law firms don't fall under. Medical practices do not fall under any of the exemptions. So we do not. So we are now a reporting entity. Once New York grants us our license to do business, we now have 90 days to comply with the Corporate Transparency Act. All right, so that's the first thing. That used to be 30 days. That was extended to 90 days. So we got 90 days. So what do we have to do in that 90 days? It's really interesting. So we need to tell the FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, the name of our company. You know, it's Harry, Margaret, Helen Co., LLC. Any DBAs, you know, doing business as Widgets International. Oh, and so we have three DBAs or trade names. Every one of them have to be listed, as well as our full legal name, as registered in New York. We need to put down the address, the physical address of our business. Not Harry's office, the lawyer, not the CPA's office, not a UPS address, you know, suite number 500 UPS, not a address of the company, physical address of the company, and the unique, we'll call it, identifying number for our entity, which in most cases is the EIN number for our entity. And if it's like a single member LLC that's disregarded, it'll either have an EIN for convenience purposes, or we can use a social security number. It has to have a number attached to it. So that's what's required to make our entity needs to go to FinCEN. So once we have that entity and all the details of that entity, we now get to the next stop. So the next stop, and now the other thing too, not looking backwards for before January 1st, 2024, is the person that filed that for that entity with New York, like my paralegal Cheyenne, she is a company applicant. She has to report. She filed it. If I'm the supervising lawyer of Cheyenne, I have to report. So now I, the supervising attorney who recommended the entity, Cheyenne who filed it, all right, and the company need to report. So what do we need to report? And anyone who owns 25% or more of our company that's not a minor, if a minor the parents need to report, needs to report. So in our case, it's a third, a third, a third, all right? So Harry needs to report, Margaret needs to report, Helen needs to report. So we are considered the beneficial owners. We own a company. So remember what we're after now. Who are the real people behind the veil of Harry, Margaret, and Helen Co.? All right. So right now it's Harry, Margaret, and Helen. So what do they want from us? So we need to report to them our real legal name, all right, any AKAs we use, our real physical address, all right, where we live, UGG, all right, and we need to give them our full PDF color copy of our driver's license and or a full color copy of our passport, non-expired, all right, needs to go along with that to FinCEN. So now we have our entity that is registered, the company applicant is registered, the supervising attorney is registered, and the three beneficial owners are now registered. And we have an option, Margaret. You say, hey, look, this is bull crap. I don't want to tell everybody where the hell I live. And I don't want to have my, you know, every single time for everything that I do, because this is for every single company. You might have 6-7 companies, all that information. So you could go to FinCEN, right? We would advise you through our service, go to FinCEN, and you can get a FinCEN identifying number. So you give all that information that I just said to FinCEN, and they will give you a number. It's number 3000-00734. So in the future, whenever we need to use you, we'd say Margaret Morrison, and then just put down your number rather than having every time your home address and your driver's license. But if there's any changes in that, you have 30 days to make sure FinCEN is updated on that. Seems kind of simple. But you see, the problem is that they weren't very clear, because it wasn't just ownership, it was also control. So who's ever in control of the business or has substantial control of the business is also a reporting entity. So in our LLC, in our wisdom, we had Jerry Jones, all right, or Jerry Jones Inc., is, we said, will be the manager of our LLC. We're busy people. Jerry Jones is going to manage our LLC. So he is in control. Now we need all of his information, but Jerry Jones is an Inc. So now we need to know who's the president, who all the C-suite people are, the CFO, the COO, the CEO. If there's a board of directors, if the board of directors has control and can change the C-suite people, we need all the information on the board of directors. This gets a little ridiculous. And now Margaret says, so we have all of that. Who's ever in control? Now Margaret says, but you know, I don't want this going through probate. So I want to take my one-third interest in Harry and Helen. And we want to put it in our trust. That's why we have our estate planning trust that we put together. Okay. So now trusts are exempt from the CTA Act. Trusts itself are. But if a trust owns a reporting company over 25%, the trust now, we need to say, who's the trustee? Who are the beneficiaries? Who is the protector? Does anybody even hold a power of appointment in a trust? That's an estate planning term that can change the direction of where assets flow within a trust to build flexibility. That person is a reporting entity. And if the settlor, you or I, who created the trust, have the ability to move assets in and out, you know, exchange assets, which most of us do, then the settlor is also a reporting person. So from our very simple LLC, we can have 30 or 40, sometimes 30, different required reporting entities, reporting, we call it entities / individuals. And that's amazing, because you got a couple of things that are involved. Most people have no idea who has to report, how they have to report, when they have to report, and the depth and the nature of that. And remember, we got these big penalties hanging out there besides. It is just nuts. So what happens? So one of the things that I think is important is who should help do this, all right? Once we decide, like I have 9 companies, I got to figure 8 of my 9 are reporting entities. So I got to do all the stuff of what the entity, all the beneficial owners, I hold them in trust. I got the trust. It just goes on and on and on. So far the AICPA, all right, has said to the CPAs, you shouldn't do this. You should not be analyzing this. It's the unauthorized practice of law. Financial planners, financial advisors, advisory services, really shouldn't be doing this. Really. I mean, people could do it themselves. They can have anybody they want help them do this, but it really should be a law firm that's skilled to know who in the trust, what are the nature, what are the roles, who has control, because control is interesting, because we could have a voting trust that has control over something. And then you got to look inside the voting. Remember, we were looking behind the layers, Margaret, to find out, to drill down, who are the real people. Okay, if we can't get to the real people, we're not going to be in compliance. So, and the other thing too, in using a law firm to do that analysis, and by the way, it's not a big deal. It's just one and done. Once we have it, that our organization all squared away, absent changes in the organization, it's not like an annual filing. You know, we got Harry, Margaret, Helen Co. We've got all our stuff into FinCEN. We've got the green light from FinCEN. So unless, Margaret, you leave New York and move to New Jersey, all right, you get over to Jersey, and now you got a new address, you got to update your stuff. All right. If the company moves, we got to update our stuff. Get a new driver's license number. We got to update our stuff. We have 30 days to do that. But other than that, it's one and done. The other thing, too, is that when people are using a law firm, and I'm not self-selling being because I'm a lawyer, is they get attorney-client privilege. And attorney-client is, I think, is critically important when you're dealing with a governmental agency that's seeking to impose criminal fines and criminal penalties. My God. I think as we do this, as we talk about it, it's very, very important. Which brings us back to this is all for a new entity now. It's just, we're still in the new entity area. This is, let me give you an example. I was working with a business chair yesterday in Texas. And Texas, everyone's in the oil business. We all know that. They're all in the oil business in Texas. And he says, well, you know, in his good old Texas drawl, you know, the way when they drill a well, that well, because it could blow out and cause all kinds of problems, that well is an LLC. So he says, I'm assuming that LLC is now a reporting entity. I said, yes. He says, and usually there's like four investors that invested in drilling that well, and each one of them is an LLC. So he said, are all four of those LLCs reporting entities? Yes. But we still don't know the people yet, right? So every member of each one of those four LLCs that has over 25% is a reporting beneficial owner. And whoever the managers of those LLCs are reporting owners. And then some of those LLCs are held by holding companies. And some of them are held by trust companies. And then or if they have five trustees at the trust company, all five of the trustees, not the trust company, but the trustees that have control of the holding company of the LLC down the line are all reporting entities. Ugh. You know, you sometimes say, is this worth it? And when I say, is it worth it? Let me give you an opinion for a second. The purpose of this is noble. You know, I got it. We want to find out who all the criminals are, all right, operating under the veil behind entities. That's the whole purpose of it. And look at the burden that's being placed on every new entity formed in America. And the burden being placed on every existing entity that has to report in America. It's going to cost money, and it's going to take time, and it's going to create anxiety. And the law is still a little too subjective as far as I'm concerned. And do you think this is really going to stop the criminals? I don't think so. It's like guns, you know. You don't allow a law-abiding citizen to have a gun. Do you think the criminals care about they have an unlawful gun? No, they don't. They will find a way around the Corporate Transparency Act, and the problem will continue, but the burden on American business will be here to stay. So this is what we got, and this is why we're talking about this. So you have...
So Harry, yeah. Can I just interrupt you? There's
sure,
a few questions.
Sure, you can interrupt me all you want.
Yeah, so that'd be great to answer those questions. And then I know you've got lots of things in terms of current LLCs, not just new ones. But
yeah.
One of the questions is, let's see, will this be challenged in the courts?
It is being challenged in the courts now as unconstitutional. And I think I started by saying that more likely than not, it'll be upheld, but portions of it may be declared unconstitutional. So, for example, we have this thing that we have criminal penalties, 2 years imprisonment, right? Because here, let me show you this. I think this is important. So there are no exceptions. So in the law that's running through now to extend the time from 30 days for change to 90 days, and the other one that waited for Joe's signature is to extend the reporting time for existing entities, which all 33 million of them, Margaret, need to be done by December 31st, 2024. Sure. Okay. They extend that till December 31st, 2025. So we have 2 years of runway to try to get everything it built into their registry. But in that new revision already to the CTA Act that's moving through Congress and not yet law is another provision, which is quite draconian, which basically directs FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, that they cannot even accept a company that does not have complete disclosure. So if somebody, and you can't say, we are unable to locate member number three, we are unable to locate the second trustee and get their information, FinCEN has been told, you cannot even look at that application. There are no partial approvals. Done. So if you can't locate them, FinCEN is basically saying you have to throw them out of the company. They can't be part of the company. All right. Buy them out. Do whatever you have to do. And then they say, squeal and tell us who they are so we can go after them for fines and criminal penalties, because they're holding up a required reporting company from being able to comply with the act. So you're supposed to squeal on them. All right. And then FinCEN goes after them civilly and criminally because they're holding up the compliance of an entity. This is very, it gets a little complex and it gets a little draconian. And so for new entities, January 1, 2024, where we have 90 days from the time it becomes alive, we know, like if I formed the LLC, you know, in New York, I know what I got to do. And I know that I'm going to put it in a trust. And I know who the trustees are going to be. I look at that. And so we do an analysis now for required reporting for the CTA. And then we have a filing service, for example, Margaret, that files, goes on, instead of you and I, sure, you could sit there, I could sit there, you know, with a government website and spend an hour and a half trying to enter all these 30, 40 things, and you get a service to do it for a couple hundred bucks. Smart use of time. We have that service. But you have all of that that's going on with CTA. But now let's just go a little bit before existing entities. So one of the things that may come out of this is that I think every company, this has nothing to do with CTA, but every company's operating agreement, shareholders agreement, limited partnership agreement, LLP agreement, the legal documents now should be revised and have CTA reporting as a provision of the agreement that the members or shareholders agree to. And that is, you sign this agreement. If you're going to be a member of Harry, Margaret, Helen Co. LLC, you have agreed, in order to be a member of our company, that you will report whatever is necessary to FinCEN to comply with the CTA Act on part of our company, or you can't be part of our company. All right? You just can't be. So now we get to the point of revision of legal documents. Now, the other thing we say for Vistage members, CEOs, and others, including myself, over the years, many of us have formed companies for God knows how many separate projects. It's smart. Real estate is not part of the company, and intellectual property may not be part of the company. Machinery and equipment we may lease to the company, vehicles, all those different things that we have as part of the company. But some of them we may have formed, Margaret, but we didn't use them. They're sitting there. They're kind of the quasi, they're the shelf company sitting on the shelf. Well, if we have them, they are reporting entities. So we now should take a look and see, do we want to keep those? Or do we want to dissolve those before the reporting is due? So do we need those entities? Do we not need those entities? And every entity in America knew the price just went up, because whoever it is needs to bring that into compliance with CTA. All right, we've kind of made a discount. We kind of like a $395. We're like, with $395, we're bringing every entity we do into compliance with CTA, new ones. But now, let's get to the difficult part, the old ones, the 33 million. This is everyone that comes to the table. So someone comes to us, we're getting now, the Vistage members and others, they come to our organization and say, hey, what do we have to do to comply with this act? That we don't want to get all these fines, and you know, we don't want to go to jail. All right, I guess some people are really nervous, Nellies. They think going to jail, go to jail, go to jail. I got it. The government put that in there. Serious about this, very serious about this. So the first thing we got to do is we got to find out how many entities they have. And believe it or not, oh crap, I forgot I had that one. So now you may have to go to every state where once upon a time they may have filed an entity, go to the Secretary of State's office and see what entities are filed under their name. All right. And what the official real legal name is, because we need that. And what's their identity? Well, we never got an EIN number for it because he never used it. But I need a specific identifying number or I can't file it. So now we got to go get an EIN number for it along the way. And also understand just one thing I want to make a mention. So I think I mentioned this earlier. Like if we were Harry, Margaret, and Helen Co., and then we had Helen's five children the other 25%, they're minors, okay? So it's a trust for the five children, they're minors. Minors don't have to report. That's an exception. However, when the minors reach the age of majority and become the full-blown owners, they have to report. But when the minors aren't reporting, the parents have to report on behalf of the minors. Both parents. Ugh, what if they're divorced? They're not talking to each other. All right? And it's the husband or the wife's company. And now they got to get the other spouse, the three spouses ago. We need to get their information to where they live and a copy of their driver's license. You got to be kidding me. But I need it because I don't get it. I can't file with CTA and penalties start. This is, now I'm giving you some of the outliers. Hopefully most will not look like that. They'll be a lot easier, but none of them are simple. It sounded simple till you got into it because we're dealing with ownership. And now, of course, what happens if somebody dies? I own 25%, I die. Now that 25% is either in a trust administration or it's winding up in court. So at least what we're able to determine at this point in time, that during the time that it's administration in court, nothing needs to change. But the moment that administration is over and it goes to the beneficiary, that beneficiary is now the owner if it's more than 25%, and they need to report. And whose responsibility is it to see that that's done? It's the company's. So the people that control the company need to enforce the fact that that company is in compliance. So it goes on. So now we have, so analyzing pre-existing companies becomes a bit of a challenge. Who's the owner? You know, it could be a 10-person S corporation that has a R&D company, biotech company, has $50 million a year of sales. But it's only 10 people. It's a reported company. It didn't make the 20 aspect. And so now let's just examine that corporation together. Every owner greater than 25% needs to know who they are, where they live, their passports. Got that. Simple enough. If they have it held by a trust, which almost 100% of the people do, we need the trustees, the beneficiaries, the settlers, whoever controls the trust. That all of them need to report. We now, what if one of our owners is another company? Then all of that on the other company, I need to get down to people. So remember I said at the beginning, remember the goal, get down to the people. If there's an entity there or a nondescript trust, that's literally the target of this act. Who's behind the veil? We need to know who's behind the veil. Then we need to know who controls it. And that, so then that gets to management control. And management control is not that easy. In an LLC, maybe you got a manager who's, you know, Joe Blow or us, the three of us. So if the three of us are the owners and the three of us are the managers or the managing members of the LLC, it's just us kids, all right, and whatever trust we did. But if in a corporation, you got a president, yeah, I think president has to report. Then you have CEO, COO, no, I guess they got to report. CFO, they got enough control, they got to report. Now, what about the CIO? What about the Chief Technology Officer? Maybe yes, maybe no. A legal determination needs to be made whether they have to report or not. Now, then they say, who can change the president, the CEO, and the COO? Well, maybe the CEO and the COO, the CEO could be replaced, the COO and the president. Okay, but the CEO could be replaced by the board. And it's not a Vistage advisory board, it's a real board. that can replace the president, I mean, the CEO, well, then they're in control, you know, of that entity, and they need to report. That's why they should all, everybody who's doing commerce should have like a social security, they should have a FinCEN number. Five directors, these are our five names, these are our FinCEN numbers. So we don't have to, if the company may never know where that board of directors person lives. All they needed was the name, which should be okay, and their number. So we need to give them instructions on how to get a number to comply. So this becomes this rat's nest of reporting on CTA with time limits. So all the pre-existing companies, every one of them that doesn't have an exception, as the law stands today, needs to be reported to FinCEN, the company, and all the beneficial owners and controllers before December 31st, 2024. On January 1st, 2025, $500 a day starts. Go ahead.
So can I ask you a question?
You can ask me all you want.
You mentioned early on that New York, so that's a federal requirement. You mentioned early on that New York, for example, because we're in New York, has their own requirements. I imagine other
they
states
will, yeah.
Yes, do as well.
Well, no, only New York now.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, it's, so let's even just talk about—
And only LLCs in New York. Not limited partnerships and not corporations. Don't ask me why New York did what they did, but they did.
And I assume the information is similar, just to a different database. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
I would think that you will effective in December. The New York law becomes effective December 24, at the end of this year. You cannot get an LLC in New York, cannot be formed without that information going into the New York's registry. So when we form a New York LLC in January 2025, we have 90 days to comply. Yeah. And then for New York, we gave our addresses, our phone numbers, our driver's licenses, whatever else New York wants. Not totally clear yet, but it's similar information.
Yeah.
It's kind of redundant information. New York itself could get access to the federal information, but whatever.
Right. Okay. So it's a different database. So the other question I had is just, you know, it sounds like this law has been around or talked about for a while. What are the chances that either, and I guess maybe it's predicting the future, but, you know, what are the chances it's going to change dramatically or the deadline is going to change? What's from your perspective?
Okay. I'm pretty sure my perspective, and this is just a one man's opinion, but a learned opinion. I would imagine that the House bill that was already passed in the House will become law. And that will extend changes. Changes right now have to be reported within 30 days. I think that will go to 90 days. I don't think it's possible sometimes within 30 days to comply. I also believe that the spirit of that law was to get an extension of another year for the 33 million pre-existing entities, filing entities that have to happen. I don't know how it's humanly possible for FinCEN and for all of us in this business to do what I just said, that legal analysis, and get it filed. Once we finish the legal analysis, we send it to the filing service, they can get it filed right away. But we got to get, who is it, a filing company? Who's got to file? I think we're going to see the 2 years on that.
And then, you know,
but I also think that the section of that law that says to FinCEN, you can't even look at the application if you don't have every last I dotted and T crossed, might be declared or modified in the Senate. And before it goes to Joe for Joe's signature, because that's really, really difficult. Because if the three of us are trying to comply, really working hard, and we're having a difficult time because one of our trustees in one of our trusts doesn't want to comply or is not complying properly, for all of us to be penalized for that, I don't think is constitutional. So I think we're going to see some change in that. I also think that. The other thing, too, is that this law is bipartisan. All right. It wasn't the Democrats. It wasn't the Republicans. It was everybody. All right, they passed this because the and it came out at the time. Remember the Pandora Papers and all that other stuff that was going on in Panama? They had all these world leaders and business people were hiding all this wealth and financing terrorists under names of companies. You know, I think that they were talking about even with Joe Biden, they said that he had like 25, 26 shell companies that did various, I'm not saying nefarious things, but in order to not know that Joe or maybe Hunter was behind all this, they had an LLC, which is held by a holding company, held by another LLC, which is another country. All right. And so now to dig in, it's very, the whole purpose of the act, who's behind those veils? All right.
Right.
And the government needs to know. So do I think that's going to happen? I think so, yes, because it's pretty much happened around the world. And it's already happening in know your client kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that part's going to stick. But like any other aspect of this, I think that as it's interpreted further, it's brand new law. So imagine the challenge for us lawyers. And we're looking at, oh, my God, we have the black letter law. We've already seen modifications. We already see court challenges. We already see bills going through Congress to make modifications. It affects so many people,
yeah.
So much burden, so much time, so much cost, so much angst that's associated with it. It also depends on whether or not there's a groundswell. So as you said, when we got started, Margaret, it's the biggest act that some people never heard anything about, you know, and it was been in the Wall Street Journal. We've sent out blurbs. Everyone's sending out by now. It's beginning. It's just the beginning of January. It's beginning to ruminate that this thing is out there. This monster's out there and we need to comply. Now, some people are complying immediately because they want to get that burden off their chest,
yeah,
and get it done. And some people are saying, no, we're not going to comply. One, we don't trust the government right now. And two, we just like your question was, this is going to change. Maybe it'll be declared unconstitutional. So before I, show my underwear to the government, I'm going to wait a while and see whether this sticks. Now,
yeah,
if there's a big enough groundswell, you know, politicians don't do well with big groundswells. They change things. Some of it may be changed. It's laudable what they want to do. We understand that. Nobody wants terrorists being financed in more 9/11s. But as I said earlier, in my humble opinion, I'm not so sure it's going to stop any of that. They'll find a way.
So, well, first of all, I've heard you speak a few times and I learn so much every single time, and it's a little overwhelming to say the least of just all the different components of it, but this was really informative and very helpful. So just one last question for you before we wrap up, Harry, you know, what key actions would you suggest to take right now? Would you say wait 30 days, wait 60 days?
No,
what are
no,
your thoughts?
No, no. I think everybody, doesn't hurt, should go and maybe get a FinCEN number. I got mine. Took about 20 minutes, go online. We would do it for people, but we can't because there's, you know, two-factor authentication and what was the elementary school that you went to, who was your best, you know, you fed the best pet that you ever had, all that crap that they have the security questions, and then we'll send you a text that you answer the text and all that. And then finally, when you get all done, you put your name, your address, I uploaded my passport and they gave me a number. I got my number. I don't think it hurts to get a number. I also don't think it hurts to engage a professional, a competent professional in this arena, to do an analysis of all your pre-existing companies. Are they exempt? Are they not exempt? Who has to do that? And I don't think there's any harm in filing it, you know, just get it out of the way. I think if you wait, because some of these entities may take us 6 months to get them done because there are an awful lot of people that involve that we need to get information, and some people may be reticent to do it. And so I think the next step is to do an analysis. It doesn't have to be done immediately. The first quarter, get it done. Look at the landscape. Make modifications to our existing legal. It's a great time to get a look at our business structures.
Yeah.
Make sure we have language in there that's now for the new CTA Act that's involved. It's a great time to use that as a portal to make sure that everything else in the business is fine. I think that's really, it's asset protected, it's well done, that we do that. It by its very nature, that none of that hurts. We do have to have one bucket of trust, and that is that the government is going to protect the information that it has.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, look at what they got. They got your address. They know your address anyway.
Yeah,
they have your driver's license or they issued the damn passport, so they know what it is, and they get your driver's license or your social security. They know all that stuff. So they don't know much more. Like when we say we're an exempt business, we have 20 employees and 5 million gross sales. Under current law, we don't have to send them a tax return to show that we have 5 million gross sales. It's our statement that we are exempt. Now, of course, they also know because they have tax returns for the company, whether there's 5 million of gross sales or not. So you don't want to lie. So I think there's no harm in getting a head start. A lot of our clients are in analyzing and filing on the FinCEN. There's just absolutely no harm.
And getting a FinCEN number. So
getting a FinCEN number is really very helpful. Well, think about it. Every single entity that my law firm files, if I'm the supervising attorney, I'm on the document. So it's just Harry Barth, FinCEN number, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd have to give them all like crap every single time. And I don't need everybody in the planet knowing that information. So the fact that the optional FinCEN number, I think everybody should get a FinCEN number. I think it's a good idea. Not difficult to do. And start a bit of an analysis on that.
Well, Harry, you are a wealth of information, and thank you so much for sharing that with my network. I know I found this, again, very helpful, and I've heard it before, but lots for all of us to think about and start to action.
I just want to say thank you so much, both you, Harry, and Margaret, for joining today. We're going to make sure that this recording goes out to everyone that attended today, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to need to listen to this at least one more time. A lot of good information today. So,
all right, guys. Thank you all so much. Margaret, absolute pleasure.
Same here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Helen. Bye.